Jesus
is risen. He's risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Welcome to St. John Lutheran Church as we conclude our Easter season. This festival that has lasted a few weeks and we are now in our seventh Sunday in this season of Easter. Today we will continue to join in songs and prayers and prayer and thanksgiving for all of God's blessings. I'm glad that you're all here today.
Are we live now? Ooh, there's the difference. There we are. Today's also the third Sunday in the month of May, so we do have a meeting of the youth group at 6 o'clock. So if you can join us for that. This Thursday, we continue our Bible study on the book of Romans. We meet in the parlor beginning at 7 o'clock. It has been a very interesting class so far. Join us if you are able as we listen to what God is telling us through Paul's letter to the Romans. Next Sunday is Pentecost Sunday. And as we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit to the disciples, we will also celebrate our high school graduates. Join us for both celebrations. Wear some red for Pentecost and a great big smile for all of the graduates. There we are. It should be a wonderful week together. This next announcement comes to us from Wes Cavender and the Parish Life Committee. Please join us the first Sunday of the month, June 4th. There will be donuts and fellowship time between services in the Christ and Coffee Lounge that's down by the parking lot entrance. So join us for that June 4th. Coming soon, Vacation Bible School. Just want to start putting it in the back of your heads. July 11, 12, and 13, a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Now, you may not have kids who are old enough to be in Vacation Bible School, right? But you may know them. They may be related to you. They may be grandkids or great-grandkids. They could be neighbor kids. They could be random kids who walk in front of your house every now and again. All right? Please remember that Vacation Bible School is coming. We're doing it once again in the evening, and I hope that we will have all sorts of folks joining us for that day. Also, a reminder that if you are looking for an opportunity to be generous to it's the motherhood renewal. We heard the wonderful temple talk a couple of weeks ago. There are still some envelopes in either entryway if you wish to share your generosity with them. There are lots of other announcements in your bulletin, and I hope you have a chance to read through them. But we've gathered this morning to be in worship. We've gathered this morning to continue celebrating our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So let us continue that worship by joining together in our gathering song. The song is Thy Word. Let us rise and sing together.
now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O God of glory, your Son, Jesus Christ, suffered for us and ascended to your right hand. Unite us with Christ and each other in suffering and in joy, that all the world may be drawn into your bountiful presence through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The first lesson this seventh Sunday of Easter comes from the first chapter of Acts. When the apostles had come together, they asked Jesus, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" He replied, "It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. When they had entered the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying. Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas son of James. All these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The second lesson comes from the book of 1 Peter, parts of the 4th and 5th chapters. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that is taking place among you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you are sharing Christ's suffering, so that you may also be glad and shout for joy when his glory is revealed. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory, which is the Spirit of God, is resting on you. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your anxiety upon him, because he cares for you. Discipline yourselves. Keep alert, like a roaring lion. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, steadfast in your faith, for you know that your brothers and sisters in all the world are undergoing the same kinds of suffering. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, support, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John in the 17th chapter. After Jesus had spoken these words to his disciples, he looked up to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all people to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I have had in your presence before the world existed. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave me, I have given to them, and they have received them and know in truth that I came from you. And they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. The Gospel of our Lord. Jesus is risen. And may the presence and the power of the risen Christ be with you now and always. Amen. The hour has come. It seems kind of like an odd sentence, especially as the first sentence that we hear in Jesus' high priestly prayer in today's gospel. But is it really that odd? This year in the lectionary, year A, we've been reading from Matthew with then stories from the Gospel of John. And as we've been hearing some of those stories from the Gospel of John, you may remember that way back when we were reading out of John 2, it was the story of Jesus changing water into wine. Jesus reminded his mother way at the beginning of his ministry, "My hour has not yet come." And then we've been listening to more stories from Matthew and then from John as we've heard those other stories, as we've watched the signs, as we've listened to the teachings and the discourses. There's been no other mention of that hour. Not yet. But today we hear it. Now is the moment. Here at the end of Jesus' last evening with his disciples, the hour has come. But what hour are we talking about? We've been waiting to hear about it since Cana in Galilee, but do we know for what it is that we have been waiting? The hour has come for glory. Glorify your Son so that the Son may glorify you is how Jesus puts it in this high priestly prayer. Now you may be sitting there thinking, well, it's about time. And I know that some of the disciples were thinking exactly that as Jesus was praying. Glory. Jesus is finally going to get his place, finally going to get the respect that he deserves and the obedience that he could demand. When we think of glory, we think of parades and awards and fanfares and fetes and acceptance speeches. Jesus was talking about the cross. Because it is there on the cross that Jesus is glorified and that God is glorified through him. But how is that possible? How could it be that that is where the glory comes from? Because it is there on the cross that the depth and the breadth of God's love for us is shown. It is there on the cross that the patience and the tolerance of God is shown. It is there on the cross that we see that God and Jesus have the same goals, the same strength, the same love and care for us, sinners though we are. The hour has come for us to know that Jesus is now and will always be the perfect example of God and God's actions in the world. When we see Jesus, when we watch Jesus, when we love Jesus, we see and watch and love God in all of God's glory. The hour has come. And through that glory, the hour has come for us to connect with eternal life. Now, oftentimes we think that eternal life is exclusively about living in heaven with God. And it can mean that it's just not exclusively that. Through our connection with Jesus as Emmanuel, as God with us, we are connected to eternal life. And Jesus goes on to describe that eternal life in his prayer when he says, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." Through Jesus, we are connected to the eternal one. Our relationship with God is repaired by God in love, and we have hope. That is what Jesus is praying for us, that our relationship with God would become our source of hope, and the hour has come. And finally, in this prayer, Jesus knows that the hour has come for us to hear of, to accept, and to pick up our oneness, that they may be one as we are one, Jesus prays. Now, since Jesus is the living representation of God and God's love completely and fully, They share a oneness of love and purpose, a oneness of patience and hope, a oneness of service, care, connection, and relationships. And that is what we have been given as well. Jesus is not praying about uniformity for all of his followers. He's not praying for a sameness for God's children, but a oneness. We are one in the love of God. We are one in the love of Jesus at the font and at the table. We are one in the love of God as we are shown it on the cross and in creation. We are one in the love of God as we are redeemed from our sin and have the presence of the Holy Spirit with us every day. We are one in purpose. And that purpose is to share the love of God. So freely given to us, we share that love with the people in the world around us who need that love so dearly. We are one in a pledge to serve and care for, to connect with and be in relationship with fellow believers and followers of Jesus or those who have never yet heard his name. We are one, and the hour has come. But what is the hour come for? For what? Or my favorite theological question, so what? Jesus is telling us that the hour has come, and we're not certain yet what it's still come for. But the hour has come for us. Now, all of the wonderful things that Jesus had been praying for in this prayer are ours, but this is also about how we can fulfill the mission that we received in the story in Acts. We received this last Thursday on Ascension Day. You see, in that story, the disciples still don't understand. They're asking when the kingdom is going to be restored to Israel, and Jesus tells them, wait. He reminds them that the Holy Spirit is coming to them. But then Jesus gives those disciples, then Jesus gives to all of us our mission. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and out to the ends of the earth. Now the geography may not be the same for us, but the intention of Jesus is clear. We get to bring the glory of God's love in Jesus in close where we are every day, like Jerusalem, out into the places we go, even those that make us kind of nervous, like Judea and Samaria, and then out to the ends of the earth. The hour has come to blend it all together. The hour has come for us to be witnesses. Now, a witness, especially in court, tells their story. We're not called on to make up extra stuff. We are called to be witness to God's love in Jesus in our own lives. And we have much to witness to, from baptism to the table, from conversations we've had with Sunday school teachers and with grandparents, or even with those who are sitting close to us here in worship now. Maybe your witness includes years worth of stories, and maybe your witness is a lot more rocky and recent and filled with holes. Jesus calls us to be witnesses, no more and no less. And so the hour has come for us to start close and go as wide as we are able. Some people are called and equipped to be witnesses to those across the country or across the world. Others of us are good with those across the table or across the office. Jesus calls us to be witnesses and includes all of that space because Jesus knows that there are people close by who need God's love, just as there are people across the globe who need God's love. We are called to share that love and bring God's glory to those we can. You see, the hour has come for us to realize that we get to be part of God's amazing story of salvation, and we get to be workers with Christ to make God's love real and true for people around us. The hour has come. The hour has come for us to be witnesses. The hour has come for us to live kindness. The hour has come for us to share God's love with all around us. The hour has come for us to bring God's glory to light in the world. So as we go from this place, may we see God's vision for love and service, for kindness and peace, and may that vision become our mission. May we glorify God in our words and our actions, in our being and in our doing, in our caring, our sharing, our helping, and our living. The hour has come for us to share the amazing truth that Jesus is risen. Amen. As we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord, let us be witness to one another of our faith as we share the words of the Nicene Creed. Please rise. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. United in the hope and joy of the resurrection, let us pray for the church, the world, and all in need. Ever-present God, root your church firmly in you. Let us neither become entranced staring up into the heavens, nor distraught by the suffering of the world. Teach us to see you in every face, every place, and every moment. Lord, in your mercy. God of the cosmos, you cradle creation in your loving arms and anoint it with signs of your presence in the budding of flowers, the birth of a baby, and the formations of the land and sky. Reveal your abundant life. Lord, in your mercy. Eternal God, your reign is above us, around us, beneath us, and beside us. As you rule the cosmos with justice and mercy, pour out your Spirit upon those in authority, that they may serve humbly and justly. Lord, in your mercy. God of companionship, provide clarity and direction for those experiencing life transitions in births and deaths, new employment and new relationships, divorces or departures. We pray for those receiving new diagnoses or undergoing treatment for illness or injury. Lord, in your mercy. God of healing and grace, there are so many people who need your presence and power. We pray for all those who suffer illness or injury or with accident and disease. We pray especially for these known to us who need your wholeness and health. We pray for Sharon, Sharla, Judith, Jen, Rhonda, and for Dan McCroskey. Come, Lord Jesus, and save us all. Lord, in your mercy. Immanent God, as you live, move, and in you we live, move, and have our being. Draw us closer to you and clothe us in your power. Encourage those preparing for baptism, those affirming their baptism, and all who are assuming new roles in congregational ministry. Lord, in your mercy. God of welcome, you call us to feast at your eternal banquet. We give thanks for those who came before us, whose lives witnessed to your love. Lord, in your mercy. Rejoicing in the victory of Christ's resurrection, we lift our prayers and praise to you, Almighty and Eternal God, through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us, pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now may you trust in God's promises to his people for peace, security, and blessing, even when they're difficult to believe. May you know that God's news is good news, nourishing and true, even when people tell you it is not. And when you encounter doubt, may God strengthen your faith, guiding you in his perfect wisdom and counsel. And may you go this day with the blessing of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. I hope that your week is filled with blessings as you go into the world with hope.
May God's vision our mission.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.
Never let go, and every high and every low.